Well, good evening, everyone. Nice to see you all this evening. And a big welcome if you're joining us online. I'd also like to welcome Pete, Jenny and Ollie, who have come down to be with us this evening. And a big thank you, Pete, for coming to preach to us. We look forward to having the Word of God open to us. But before we start, should we commit our time to God in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come together this evening to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the open church building and for this opportunity to worship you. And we pray, Lord, that we will make full use of it. May our hearts come with thankfulness before you. And we pray, Lord, that our worship will be made acceptable to you. For, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us in completing the work of salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our hearts have big reason to rejoice because of that. And so, Lord, as your word is open to us this evening, we pray that we will hear your voice. We pray, Lord, in our worship that we will give everything to you, for it's the least we can do, for the love that you have shown to sinners like us. So come and be in this building with us, Lord. We pray that we will have a good time together, and this will be an enjoyable evening in your presence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to start with a song. We're going to sing Forever Jesus. And I just want to read the chorus. So for all my days, I will sing my praise to the King, Forever Jesus. Though the storms may rage, he's strong to save. He's the King, Forever Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Please turn in your Bibles with me to the passage that we'll be looking at this evening, and that can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 13. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll begin reading at verse 24 through to 43. He put another parable before them, Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundations of the world." Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." As I said, that's the passage that Pete's going to be explaining to us in a little while, but we'll continue our worship with another song. How good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith and unity. And again, love the chorus. "So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out his word, till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people." Let's stand and sing. pray together now. Our great and heavenly Father, we thank you for the free access we have to come to you and have our prayers heard and answered through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that despite us being a complete contrast of you by our nature, yet by your grace we are saved and we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And so, Lord, we come tonight very aware of who you are and who we are, but, Lord, rejoicing in the hope that you've given us through our Saviour. Indeed, Lord, we thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ into this sin fallen world to come and do what no one else could. We thank you, Lord, for for the love and willingness he showed and for his obedience. And Lord, we pray that it's not something that we'll just ignore or take for granted, but we pray that we might know him as our personal Saviour. Lord, you want to deal with us each individually. Lord, we can't be saved as a church, but Lord, we come before you on our own. We go past you in single file. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us here tonight might know the freedom of knowing Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you supplied the very thing we needed and the very thing we couldn't offer ourselves. And as we worship tonight, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be really thankful for that and for every blessing. And Lord, we are just humbled and blown away by how good you are to us. Lord, on a daily basis, every need of ours is taken care of. And Lord, we often worry ahead of time, but we just seem to take the joy away from today. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus with whatever we're going through, no matter the challenges that we're facing. Help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon you. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity of worship tonight. We pray that we'll make full use of it. We thank you for your word being open to us, Lord, that we can read it for ourselves and take in what you have said. We thank you for faithful preachers like Pete who come to preach to us. We thank you, Lord, for the teaching that we had this morning from Mark. And Lord, we are so blessed as a church to have God-fearing Christians come and share the word of God with us. And so we pray, Lord, that our ears will be truly opened, that our hearts and minds will be really engaged. We pray, Lord, you'll free us from distractions in our mind, Lord, whatever it is that might be nagging at us about tomorrow or what happened earlier today. Please take it away, Lord. Give us peace in our heart and our mind. Give us the ability to truly focus upon you. And whatever it is that distracts us, Lord, please take it away from us. And may our eyes just be fixed upon you. Lord, we thank you for all that's gone on in this church today. We thank you for the communion service too. We thank you, Lord, for the morning teaching for the children and young people. And we pray, Lord, it won't just be another Sunday, but that it will be a turning point in somebody's life, or many people if we had our way. We pray, Lord, this might be a day where the lost have indeed been found, and that those who have found have put their trust in you, have received the free gift of your grace. Lord, we pray for us as a country. You know, Lord, that we sin on a great scale every day, individually and collectively. Lord, there's much wrong in your sight of what we're doing. We pray, Lord, for your forgiveness and for you to correct us and to put us on the right path and on a path that honours and fears you. And Lord, we feel with the general election coming up that there's an opportunity for change. But Lord, you know what's going to happen. Lord, you know already who's going to get into power. And we pray, Lord, ahead of that you will give us wisdom as voters. Lord, we have a privilege to vote. Help us to use that vote wisely. Lord, it doesn't always feel easy to choose someone who represents us, especially when we have when our faith is precious to us. Lord, it feels like we can't identify with a lot of the political parties and their thoughts. So give us wisdom, Lord, to help make a good choice. And whoever ends up in power, Lord, we pray for them that they will have a true fear of God, that they will make positive decisions that lead us closer to you. It feels impossible, and it feels like that it's too little too late, but Lord, you are the God of the impossible. And so we commit everything into your hand, knowing that you can change whatever you will. And that, Lord, you have a plan and a will for each one of us. And Lord, we rejoice in that. We also We want a good outcome, and so we commit it into your hand. Lord, we pray for those around the world who are suffering in war. There's so much sadness going on in the news, Lord. We can't even really relate to it because it's so far removed from what we're used to. Lord, we live in such relative comfort and affluence, and we thank you for that. But we do pray, Lord, for these poor souls in Israel and in Gaza, and we pray, Lord, for those in the Ukraine. It just seems to get worse by the day. And Lord, there seems to be such a lack of compassion and understanding. And we pray, Lord, that you will intervene in these sad situations. We pray for those poor families who are being torn apart in so many different ways. And Lord, we pray into that situation, although not really knowing quite what to ask, other than that, Lord, you will deal with it and that you will bring peace to those troubled regions. We thank you, Lord, for the relative peace that we live in. We thank you, Lord, for having an open church. We thank you for the freedom to share the gospel with the people around us. I pray, Lord, that we will be empowered by your Spirit to be bold witnesses of what you have done while we have the opportunity. Maybe it won't last forever, but Lord, while there's day, while there's life, Lord, use us so that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with our neighbours and our colleagues and school friends, whoever it might be that we come into contact with. Lord, may we be the shining light for Jesus that you have asked us to be. So, Father, we pray then tonight for this service, that you will bless us with your Spirit. We pray that this might be a good time for us all as we hear your word spoken. We pray that we will learn from it, that we might feel closer to you, and we might understand you and our own need better. And we pray for Pete as he speaks, that Lord, you will use him and the word that you've put on his heart to bring to us tonight. And we pray, Lord, that in every that each one of us will have a listening ear tonight. I think the reading finished exactly like that. He who has ears, let him hear. And we pray, Lord, that that might be us here tonight. So come and be in our presence, we pray, Lord. Bless us each. Be with us in the week ahead. And whatever we've got coming up, Lord, I particularly want to pray for the guys who have got exams coming up this week. And you know the weight that can carry and the stress and worry that it can bring into their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you've got them. And that, Lord, they can rest easy knowing that you love them, no matter what the outcome is. Help them to do their best in their exams, Lord. Help them in their revision. Help them to keep focused. And we pray that, Lord, you will have your way. Thy will be done. And that, Lord, it might all be good for them. So, Father, we commit these things into your hand now and pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, before Pete comes to preach to us, let's sing again. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. Let's bring our hearts together and really worship our God who's done so much for us, done everything that we couldn't do. Let us worship him now.
Well, good evening. It's good to be here again. And we're Matthew's Gospel that Luke's just read out for us. So if you could turn there, Matthew chapter 13. And we're looking at verses 24 to 43. Three parables of Jesus. And we're thinking tonight about the theme of kingdom growth. How does God's kingdom grow in our world? So Matthew 13, 24 to 43. Last September, the Spectator magazine ran an article titled Inside the Fastest Growing and Shrinking Churches in the UK. And they said that based on current figures of decline, most major denominations in the UK will be extinct in the next 40 years. Some of you know that the 2021 census showed the number of people claiming commitment to Christianity dropped by a huge 13% over that previous decade to below half the population for the very first time, to 46%. But interestingly and encouragingly, the stats show that charismatic and evangelically minded churches who believe the Bible are bucking the trend and, well, it's not revival, but are slowly growing. London's Sunday church attendance is up 10% on 40 years ago. And increasingly, especially in the younger generation, people are open to exploring faith and spirituality. The Centre for the Study of Global Christianity at the Gordon Cornwell Theological Seminary reports at the start of 2023, there will be over 2.6 billion Christians worldwide by the middle of 2023 and around 3.3 billion by 2050. And many of you will be aware that it's well documented that the growth in Christianity has moved from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere. Well, tonight we're going to go right back to the start, to the first century, where when he was here on earth, Jesus, in Matthew 13, he told parables, stories with a meaning, to help us understand how does the kingdom of God grow? How does the kingdom of heaven grow in our world? Matthew 13 starts with Jesus' famous parable of the sower, where we see that the kingdom of heaven, it comes not by force, but personally and powerfully into our lives as we hear and we receive his word. And now here in, well, have a look at verse 24 and verse 31 and verse 33. Jesus has got this repeated phrase to introduce his parables. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to or is like. It's there three times. And these parables here, they're about how the kingdom of heaven, how it grows. But first, before we look at that, I want us to try and just feel the privilege we have tonight of hearing the words of Jesus. Look at verses 34 and 35. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. So at this stage, or on this particular occasion, Jesus, he's teaching in parables, and it fulfills Old Testament prophecies. It's a quote there from Psalm 78, verse 2. And we get to hear mysteries, things that have been hidden since the beginning of time. You know, think of the past week. This past week, you and I, we've heard many, many voices from the world around us. And tonight this is a call to hear above those voices, to hear a voice from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let his voice ring loudest in your ears tonight. And what we see here a stark reality about things, about our world, about people. We see things as they really are. And we see hope. Because what we see here, we see how God is building his kingdom in our world. This past Easter, we were on the south coast, and we had some beautiful clifftop walks. We were staying at a place that was just across from the Isle of Wight, and on a clear day, it was just stunning views of the Needles on the Isle of Wight. I think it was the last day we were there, we went out, and it was totally foggy. It was the only day that Jasmine was with us, our middle child. And we were like, there's a great view over there. And she'd not seen it before. But you just couldn't see anything. You could hardly see the sea. And by nature, if you're not a Christian tonight, it's like that. It's this fog, this spiritual fog. And if you're a Christian tonight, it can be a bit like that sometimes too. We can be spiritually foggy, not very clear. Just seeing blandly what is in front of us in the world around us. And it's like here in these parables, Jesus blows away our spiritual fog so we can see the striking realities of his kingdom that are there and that are all around us. So two things of what the kingdom of heaven is like here. First of all, the kingdom of heaven grows unstoppably against all opposition. The kingdom of heaven grows unstoppably against all opposition. Have a look at verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." So we've got here an evil act of bioterrorism. That's what's going on here. To destroy the good crop. Verse 26. When the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the weeds here are likely something called darnel. It was a kind of spurious wheat. It was a plant that was found in Palestine. It looked like wheat, but it was useless. And it was only as the crop grew, you could see that some were weeds and not wheat. Verse 27. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And at harvest time, I'll tell the harvesters, the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." The farmer's weeding ban here is, I think, a surprising twist in the story. There was a danger that in pulling up the wheat, then the weeds would come up too. But surely there's a greater danger if it was left as it was, the crop will be choked, the crop will be lost. But the farmer there, look at verse 30 again. The farmer, he's confident he's going to have a harvest. As he says in verse 30, "Let them both grow together until harvest time." And then he's going to gather in the harvest. Well, what does it all mean? Jesus' disciples ask that question, and he answers their question. Look at how he answers. Let's skip down to verse 37. He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." That's Jesus. "The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom." And it's worth just noticing here that in contrast to the parable of the sower, the good seed here is not the words of Jesus, but the people of Jesus who receive and respond to his words. But then in contrast, verse 38, "The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil." That's a fallen angel, the great enemy of God and all that is good. "The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. So the devil and his people, those who reject Jesus' kingdom, they may flourish for a time, but the harvest is coming. It will be short-lived. And so this is a call here to see through our spiritual fog. There is a stark reality about life in our world. As you walk into a crowd, as you walk into this brand new week, how do you view people? Maybe you see people as young and old, male and female, the haves and the have-nots. People who are, and this is often how we think, isn't it? People who are like me and people who are not like me. Friends and family, neighbors, colleagues, acquaintances, strangers. And Jesus is saying, look closer. See people as Jesus sees them. And did you notice that the wheat and the weeds, that they were hard to tell apart? There is an invisible line that runs through the whole of humanity. That every single person you lock eyes with is either weeds or wheat. A Jesus people or the devil's people. Let's just pause here. Because maybe that grates on you. This sharp distinction that Jesus makes here. And if you're not a Christian tonight, maybe you find that actually incredibly offensive. If you're a Christian here tonight, this can be incredibly painful. I mean, to actually think about. We're talking about people that we know and love. And so many people we know are delightful people to know. Is Jesus really saying that unless they're Christians, they're in the devil's kingdom? And besides, to be honest, a number of Christians we know, they're an absolute pain. And behave worse than people we know who aren't Christians. And that, of course, is Jesus' point. The wheat and the weeds. They look similar as the crop grows. At times it's hard to tell the difference. But in the end, when all is said and done, everyone belongs in one of those two kingdoms. No matter how moral, no matter how upright, no matter how religious, if we're living for ourselves, not repenting of sin, not trusting in Jesus' death for forgiveness and his wonderful offer of life, we are in the devil's kingdom. In reality, blinded to our need of Jesus. So can I say tonight, can we hear clearly Jesus' loving warning? To have ears to hear the stark reality of Judgment Day. Look at verse 42. In verse 42, Jesus, he warns that his angels will throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus' loving warning here is, it's hard for us to hear, isn't it? And to grasp. Whilst the weeds and the wheat may be hard to tell apart, Judgment Day is going to blow away all of our spiritual fog. We'll see clearly then. That invisible line that runs through all humanity will be crystal clear. The eternal destinies of hell and heaven will be before us. The blazing furnace, weeping, gnashing of teeth, Jesus' words, Jesus' warning of the reality of the eternal punishment of hell. Under God's just wrath, for those who've chosen to reject him. And in stark contrast, the righteous, those who are right with God through faith in Jesus, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And it is a glorious, amazing description of the splendor of eternal life in the presence of and in the care of our loving Heavenly Father. And Jesus' point is that right now, the weeds and the wheat, they grow together. Jesus' church, his people, exist side by side with those in this world who reject Jesus and often laugh at them and at Jesus. But for now, Jesus' kingdom, it doesn't come with irresistible power. It leaves room for those who want to reject him. Remember that time when Jesus' disciples want to call down fire from heaven on a village that didn't welcome Jesus? And Jesus rebukes them because violence is not the way his kingdom grows. And that, by the way, is why the Crusades in the Middle Ages were so evil and were so wrong and so misguided. Jesus says, look, blow away the spiritual fog and see clearly. See the future clearly. There is a stark reality. Humanity is divided into wheat and into weeds. Judgment Day is going to reveal that. And Jesus will safely gather his wheat into his harvest. So the kingdom of God, it grows, the kingdom of heaven, it grows unstoppably against all opposition. But right in the middle of this stark reality of the way that things really are, also, let's see through the spiritual fog to what Jesus' kingdom is like and how it grows. Here's our second thing. The kingdom of heaven grows massively above all expectation. The kingdom of heaven grows massively above all expectation. Have a look at verse 31 with me. Verse 31. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The mustard seed was the smallest of all seeds that anyone cultivated in the first century, fields or gardens of Israel. But it grew into one of the largest of garden plants. It was pretty much like a tree. And Jesus is saying here that his kingdom begins insignificantly and small in size and in impact, but becomes surprisingly large and powerful. And birds perching in the branches of the tree may well be Jesus referring to people of all nations coming to him for salvation. I mean, that is certainly an Old Testament imagery that's used. If you want references for it, it's Ezekiel 17:23 and Daniel 4:20-22. Where that imagery of a large tree with the birds of the air finding refuge in a tree, it's used to describe kingdoms with worldwide reach over the nations. And then Jesus tells another parable that's very, very similar in its application. Look at verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened, it worked through the whole batch of dough. And again, Jesus' point here is that just as a small amount of yeast spreads through a batch of dough, and makes it rise to produce large amounts of bread, so too his seemingly insignificant kingdom will have great impact. It totally transforms the whole of life. And Jesus' parables here are prophetic. I mean, this is what happened. This is the story of Jesus' glorious church, his saved people. It all started so small, so despised, with Jesus' powerful life, but then his shameful death on a Roman cross. But then his glorious resurrection from the dead and his ascension back to heaven. But leaving a band of 12 unlikely disciples in a first century world that was steeped in Judaism, dominated by the powerful Roman Empire, shaped by the worship of pagan gods, the wheat side by side with seemingly overwhelming weeds. But when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, the church was birthed, there was just 120 believers. But at Pentecost, that grew to 3,000. And over the past 2,000 years, in different countries and continents, the gospel of Jesus Christ has both hugely spread and been hugely opposed. But as the English author and philosopher G.K. Chesterton once wrote, Christianity has died many times and risen again, for it had a God who knew the way out of the grave. Isn't that great? Christianity has died many times and risen again, for it had a God who knew the way out of the grave. And so that today, nearly a third of the world's population claim to be Christian. Now, much of that is a far cry from born-again, Bible-believing Christianity. We know that. But no one can dispute the phenomenal growth and impact of the gospel of Jesus over the past 2,000 years. It's extraordinary. That can only be explained by the real resurrection of Christ from the dead. And so this has spread all around the world, and Jesus' kingdom has shaped Western culture. Everywhere you look, and many others. But I want to bring this down to earth for us today. Because I don't know how you feel, but I certainly feel that my efforts to make Jesus known, to grow his kingdom, feel so and are so small. Like tiny seeds, like a pinch of yeast. And I often wonder, is anything happening? Is anything growing? But that, of course, is Jesus' point with the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. It's like Jesus is saying here, look, in my kingdom, by my Holy Spirit, I do big with small things. So, as a family, we stand with a total stranger at 10:30 one night recently on a place called Pewley Down near us. It's a lovely kind of vantage point where you can see a lot for miles over the countryside. We were there, like many other crazy people, hoping to see the Northern Lights. And our conversation with this stranger included chat about the glory of God in the sky. We didn't see the Northern Lights. Did she sense the glory of God? I don't know. Vulnerable in the dark, she was grateful we befriended, included her, but we'll never see her again. Our efforts feel so small. But the Holy Spirit of Jesus does big with small things. It's never just a random encounter. Well, the other week, a neighbour tells me she's got an operation this week. I promised to pray for her. She's very grateful. I mean, she's always very friendly. Will she ever know the God that I pray to? My effort seems so small. I just don't know. But what I do know is that the Holy Spirit of Jesus, he does big with small things. It's never just a promise to pray. Another neighbor regularly greets me with, "Morning, Vicar." I never wear a dog collar, by the way. Amazingly, he's read the Bible twice. But he says he's not a church type. I regularly chat with him and his wife about all sorts of things. And I occasionally get to talk about Jesus. Will they ever come to know and love Jesus? My efforts, they seem so small. I don't really know. But what I do know is that the Holy Spirit of Jesus does big with small things. And it's never, ever just a casual chat. And then there's the people I often wave to or smile at or say hi to on my morning run. I pray for them. Will they ever know Jesus? I don't know. But I do know that the Holy Spirit of Jesus, he does big things, small things. It's never just a wave. It's never just a smile. It's never just a hi. Or I'm working on a task. I'm trying to do it well. Unto the Lord. People notice the difference and say thank you. Will they ever ask me about Jesus? And I need to remember that the Holy Spirit of Jesus, he does big with small things. It's never just living a faithful life of integrity. Look, the thing is this, that heaven is going to be so full of surprises, of people that are there because of something small, something insignificant that you thought was insignificant, that you did maybe years ago, and God's used it. I had long chats with my friend. He was into hardcore drugs. He lived an immoral life. He often laughed at my faith in Jesus. And one day I said to him, "I'm concerned for your soul." I mean, that's quite heavy, okay? That is quite heavy. Would he ever come to faith in Jesus, who he cursed so freely? My effort seems so small. I didn't really know. But I did know that the Holy Spirit of Jesus does big with small things. It's never just a clunky but heartfelt plea to turn to Jesus. But if I'm honest, I think I forgot that with my friend. After school, after college, we went our separate ways. And I never really expected to see him again. But 30 years later, it's about 5 years ago now, my phone rings. It's my friend. And turns out that even way back then, he was seeking for something more. I was remembering, he came here one Sunday evening. I think he was at my baptism here. And he said to me, "You told me I'm concerned for your soul." Totally forgotten I'd said that. He wanted to talk about faith in Jesus. He got plugged into a church near him. And last year, he got baptized. See, my efforts seemed so small. They were small. So ineffective.
But the Holy Spirit of Jesus does big with small things, like mustard seeds, like a pinch of yeast. That is how his kingdom grows. So as you walk into this week, as you walk through a crowd, as you look at your friends, as you look at family, as you look at acquaintances, neighbors, colleagues, here's what you don't know. You don't know who's weeds and who's wheat. You don't know that. See through the spiritual fog. Here's what you do know from Jesus here. His kingdom will grow unstoppably against all opposition. And you also know that his kingdom will grow massively above all expectation. If you're a Christian here tonight, you get to be part of something that is huge. It spans the globe. It spans the whole of time. But not just time. It spans the whole of eternity. Eternity past, eternity future. And your efforts to spread Jesus' eternal kingdom, it may feel so small. You may wait years. Actually, you might die waiting with as yet unanswered prayers for loved ones. But remember this, it is never, ever just a random encounter. Just a promise to pray. Just a casual chat. It's never just a wave. Or just a smile. Or just a hi. Or just a life of integrity. It's also never just a clunky but heartfelt plea to turn to Jesus. Remember this, that the Holy Spirit of Jesus, he does big with small things. We're going to sing in a moment, but why don't we just let God's word settle in our hearts in the quiet. And if you're not a believer here this evening, what do you make of Jesus? Crystal clear perception of the whole of humanity. Two groups. Why not turn to him tonight? Change sides. If you're a believer, be encouraged. Be encouraged how the Lord can use you. Let's just spend a moment in the quiet. Thought about how God's kingdom grows. It is unstoppable. There are kingdoms in this world that are rising, that are falling all around us. But we have one king who reigns over all. Let's stand to sing for the nation's rage.
Heavenly Father, you've humbled our hearts this evening. Forgive us that so often we don't see people, the world, life, eternity clearly. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping us to see more clearly this evening. We thank you for your kingdom. We thank you that you are, Lord Jesus, the King over all. And though nations around us rise and fall, we praise you that your kingdom is eternal. You are the King over all. We thank you that you invite us into your eternal kingdom through your cross, Lord Jesus. We praise you for your grace, your mercy. And Lord, we pray that you give us humility, if not yet in your kingdom, to come even this evening. And Lord, as we leave here tonight and go into a brand new week, well, may we do so with such hope, such purpose, knowing that all that we do matters. All that we do, you can use in ways we've not even imagined. Oh Lord, help us, we pray, to see this clearly. The extraordinary part, the surprising part you call us to play in growing your kingdom. Would you do more for us than we can ask or imagine? Would heaven be so full of surprises regarding the people around us in our lives right now? Lord Jesus, we pray, fill us with your Spirit and use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' great and powerful name. Amen.